I'm Amy Holmes, and here are just some of the news stories we're following this morning.
Well, we begin in the headlines with some breaking news. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who's visiting Iraq today, says there's a chance of a, quote, modest acceleration in the pace of U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq. Gates says it's possible that one combat brigade would leave Iraq ahead of schedule. The U.S. Coast Guard says the search resumes this morning for dozens of Haitian migrants still missing after their handmade sailboat sank in the Caribbean. We may have some more details later on in this segment. About 100 people have been rescued so far. And Ireland's justice minister says his country will resettle two Guantanamo detainees who will be released soon. The men's identities, travel plans, and new residences will be kept secret. Amy?
Well, John, President Obama heads to North Carolina and Virginia for more health care town halls today. Earlier this morning, I asked my former boss, former Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, if he missed being in on the action.
Amy, it is so good to be out of there.
There's a word of progress in the Senate on a plan to squeeze $35 billion in Medicare savings from the health care proposal. Forecasters predict another brutally hot day for the Pacific Northwest. And, John, I can tell you, being from Seattle, 106 degrees.
You're from Seattle?
I am from Seattle,
indeed. 106 degrees in Seattle. That is crazy.
Never remember those numbers.
It doesn't rain. It steams when it gets that hot in the Pacific Northwest. Finally, overseas again. China says it's going to use the death penalty less. China now executes more people than any other country, at least 1,700 a year. They didn't give any indication of numbers. In markets this morning, it looks like future trading suggests a down market when Wall Street opens in about 2 hours from now. But let's begin with some details on that situation we've been following since yesterday. Lieutenant Commander Matt Morlag, spokesman for the U.S. Coast Guard in Miami, joins us, where the search continues for Haitian migrants whose boat capsized yesterday off the Turks and Caicos Islands. At least 15 Haitians are dead, but more than 100 were rescued. Lieutenant Commander Matt Morlag, thanks for being with us. And what's the latest this morning?
Hi, good morning. Unfortunately, the numbers have not changed. We have rescued 118. That number remains the same from yesterday. We still have 15 deceased. We do believe that number will go up. We are going to be searching this morning. Our aircraft are in the air en route to search area to begin their searches today. Weather is a little choppy in the area like it was yesterday,
right,
which will make searching more difficult.
Of course, there's a large Haitian community in South Florida, so I'm sure people's emotions are running high in the Miami area. But we've been told that this was a capsized homemade sailboat. Now, I have in my mind a vision of what a homemade sailboat might look like. You've actually, I believe, have seen at least some sense of what this craft was like. Can you describe it?
Well, we haven't seen this actual vessel. We've not located it, but it's very typical method of how people from Haiti will generally take to the sea, and it includes a sail that is generally homemade and about a 40 to 60 foot hollowed out, you know, type of craft where they just load as many people as they can onto it.
And is the Coast Guard mostly in charge of the rescue? I mean, the capsizing took place off the Turks and Caicos Islands. I suspect they have some responsibility here as well.
Well, the Turks and Caicos police have the lead on this, and we're supporting their search efforts. We bring some assets that some aircraft that can search larger areas. They have small boats that are able to get into the shallower areas. So our search assets complement each other well.
So what's going to happen to the people who were rescued? I mean, they are migrants. They were trying to get a refuge in the United States, where presumably they would have vanished into the South Florida community. But what's the Coast Guard's responsibility here?
The Coast Guard is not the lead agency on this. Those individuals who are rescued are in the Turks and Caicos. They are have been turned over to Turks and Caicos authorities, and it will be up to them to decide what they will do with those individuals.
Is there any precedent for when people are evacuated to islands not part of U.S. territory?
I'm not sure exactly. The government will make a decision on as to whether they are going to repatriate those individuals back into Haiti or keep them in their country.
So, Matt, how much of this is the responsibility of the Coast Guard in the Caribbean? I mean, certainly we've seen enormous migrations from Cuba and Haiti. And, you know, I suspect this is a large part of the Coast Guard's mission in South Florida and the Caribbean.
Well, it is, because we're a life-saving agency, and safety of life at sea is one of our highest priorities. And these are people who need rescuing, and that's what we want to do. We want to try to find as many people as quickly as we can and get them to safety. The other aspect of it is that we're a law enforcement agency, and we have a duty to enforce U.S. law, and there is a legal and safe means of migration into the United States.
Lieutenant Commander, this is Amy Holmes here. Are these voyages constant, or do you see an ebb and flow?
It happens very regularly in the Caribbean that we will see large numbers of Haitian migrants take to the sea in overcrowded, rickety vessels. It's very dangerous. It's dangerous from the minute they leave the shore until the minute they are safely on board our vessels. And so it happens all too often. And as in this case, many times we see death involved with it.
You know, Lieutenant Commander, let me let you in on an editorial discussion we had on our program yesterday. You know, we talk a lot about economic indicators on the border with Mexico, and that the flow of people going north or south actually does depend upon what's going on in the U.S. economy and the global economy. But it sounds like what you're saying, that this is really a constant. The economy's up, the economy's down. There is a regular flow of migrants from Haiti to South Florida. Does that say more about the United States, or does it say more about the nation of Haiti, Lieutenant Commander?
Well, with some other migrants that we see generally from Cuba or the Dominican Republic, that number does tend to change based on the economy. With Haiti, we really have not seen that. It tends to be very sporadic. One month we'll see a large number, the next month we won't see as many. So I think it depends quite a bit on events in Haiti, and also information that is making its way back from the South Florida community into Haiti about conditions here in the U.S.
And let's not forget, Haiti is, I believe, the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. The conditions are Haiti, of course, difficult, especially with the storms and things that they had. Our priority is, of course, ensuring that those that do take to the sea, we rescue them as quickly as possible and get them out of their peril.
Well, way more rescued than actually appear to have died on this particular voyage. Lieutenant Commander Matt Morlag, thanks so much. Spokesman for the U.S. Coast Guard in Miami. Thanks so much for the update.
Thank you.
So it's interesting. Whatever the economic ebb and flow, it's sort of a constant. And
that
I think
is
it sounds like it says more about Haiti than it says about the
United
States.
And we see with Mexican immigration that there is a relationship between the American economies. So things in Haiti must be constantly not good.
Well, we were hoping to have a voice from the Haitian community in South Florida on that story, because we do know that emotions are high there, even though happily only 15 of the more than 200 people on that boat were killed. But still, it's an emotional story for those people.
Indeed.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.